A65. Number 19A.
So we go on with the exercise. We have taken life, truth, and love, impelling life. Now we come to truth. Who would like to take that law? Life, truth, and love. Yeah? Okay? Yeah? Yes? Sure?
Okay. I tried to change the terminology a bit.
Good.
In truth, the absolutes of life demand the consciousness of truth. Then, of course, we have to know what is the consciousness of truth. In relation to truth, the factuality of truth demands a consciousness of truth or truth consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And in relation to love, the complete, perfect fulfillment of love demands and provides a consciousness of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Demands and provides a consciousness of truth.
Mm-hmm. What is love in that? What is the love? Uh-huh. Well, you said only demands.
Demands a truth consciousness.
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, the tone of love doesn't come out.
Oh. The fulfillment? The idea of fulfillment?
If you like that? Or a full consciousness of truth? Or a perfect consciousness of truth? Huh? Yeah? Or a consciousness of holiness.
Huh? Or wholeness.
Or wholeness. Or, well, that's truth.
That's the idea.
Yeah. See, you tried now with other terms, which is quite legitimate or even nice, because one doesn't want to fall into some kind of a rusty way of doing things. But the danger is that you lose your tonality. And you nearly lost it, huh? Yeah. So, again, one must say, you see, there is some pros for stereotyped wording, and there is some cons for stereotyped wording. How do the other signs do it? Do they like stereotyped laws? Huh? Yeah, only. They only have stereotyped laws. Huh? They never change them. They never change. See, they even stick to the same symbolism. Huh? All over, no matter if you go to Russia or to America or to Japan, it's even the same symbolism that they use in a law. Huh? So that they understand each other. They have a wonderful way of communicating in the field of exact science, because these symbols are standardized, and so they understand each other. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to take the law of love? Yes. Okay. George?
Love is impelled to bring forth its own perfect plan through the creative impelling of life, and it finds that this perfect plan is a true and right and factual plan because of its influence from truth, and this plan is a perfect fulfilled plan because it is love in love's own stead.
Yes. Okay, so you put it the other way around, but you did stick to the tonality. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so in this way you can go over the synonymous term. You can naturally, as we have said, take various ideas. We have taken in mind, we have taken, what did you take? Manifest, huh? You could have taken another term, that life, truth, and love impel the creative ability of mind, or impel the intelligence of mind, huh? And then show it through the three. So, we always have that means of, making such a law rather round and warm by substituting the synonymous term with, is that the right formulation in English? Substituting the synonymous term with or by ideas of mind. Ideas of the synonymous term. I never know when I come to that substitution. You substitute the first for the second, or the second for the first, because it's usually the other way around than what we would say in German. How do you say it? You substitute ideas of mind for the synonymous term mind. You see, I said it the wrong way the first time, yeah? Uh-huh. So, instead of just saying mind, substitute ideas of mind, like manifest, like creator, like intelligence, for the synonymous term mind. And so naturally we can elaborate that law. So instead of only having the term mind, you have all the terms that fit here into mind as ideas of mind. And so with spirit we have taken that life, truth and love really impel the unfoldment of spirit. Instead of unfoldment, we could have taken something else, that they impel the reality of life, or the reality of spirit, or the substance of spirit, or the birth of spirit. Any idea of spirit could be taken. But naturally, it is specified, It's no more the whole realm of spirit that is then appealed to, as if we stay with a synonymous term, we use that redundancy principle which says, if I take spirit, I have everything in it what symbolizes spirit in one go. But it needs the tonality of it. All right. Now, this is not all that we can see in this law of interdependence. If we know our categories, we are entitled to bring in new categories into this law. Up to this point, we actually have only taken that law in the subtone of the word, just by stating that, what God impels. But we know that the word also reflects the Christ. We can have the word as the Christ. So we can elaborate this law by taking in a Christ sense of the word. Not the Christ sense, but the Christ sense of the word. And this again opens up a quite a new vista. For instance, what could be the Christ touch of the word? You could perhaps take as the Christ touch of the word, to show that being is Immanuel, God with us. The moment we identify the word with us, it is the Christ sense of the word. See? The Christ sense of the word. So instead of just having that law as we exercise it just stating a law in the word sense, because it had, so to say, no connection with us, with me. Is that clear? Because the moment I bring in the relationship, the translation to man, Christ is the divine coincidence of God and man. It's the spiritual agreement of God and man. If I bring in that spiritual agreement of God and man, I bring in a Christ sense into that law in the world. So I begin to consider really this law from the Christ standpoint, and see, which applies to me. Therefore, And you see what happens. You begin to see, all right, life, truth, and love impels mind. And now you take in a Christ sense, which is related to me. Life, truth, and love impels mind to be my mind. You see the Immanuel sense. Now it's not just mind, generally. Now I translate it to me and I begin to see that's my mind. Think of it. How much more powerful powerful it becomes instead of saying, I have the mind of Christ. See, that would be just on the level of Christian Science, where I identify myself with the mind and I say, I have the mind of Christ. And it's just claiming it. If I use that law of interdependence, I see that not I have to identify myself and say, I have the mind of Christ, but just the other way around, that life, truth, and love impel mind to be my mind. And so I feel that whole Christ force coming to me and say, well, life, truth, and love impel really mind to be my mind, and as truth to be my true mind, and as love to be my perfect mind, my complete mind, my whole mind. Yeah? Did you get it? Life, truth, and love? No.
Yes.
Well, if you don't say yes, I don't know. That's as simple as that. Yes? All right. Again, just in case there is one that didn't get it. Just for that one, I say it again, not for the others who have got it. See, we say, well, Paul said we must have that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. That would be my identifying myself with the mind of God. That's on the level of Christian Science. On the level of absolute Christian Science, I can't say I identify myself with the mind that is God. Because who is the I that says that? What is that I that says, I identify myself with that mind which is God? You see, it's still a human sense. It's not the divine person, the divine I, the divine ego, the divine I am. The divine I am is life, truth, and love. That's the person of God. And that person of God is life, truth, and love said, I am the one that impels mind, and now the Christ, to be my mind. And then it's Immanuel. So there is no more any effort, no more any human effort in this law. It is given to me. It's really the impact, again we have the impact of God on me. Immanuel, God with us, God with me. And so I sit down and can contemplate that through all the seven synonymous terms, and it gives me again a mighty feeling that it lies in the interest of life, truth, and love, in the interest of God to impel mind, the mind of God, to be the same mind as my mind, to be my mind. Can you see the coincidence, the spirit agreement of God and man? Yes. Which makes me think, oh-ho, then actually I have no chance to stick to a mortal mind, to my own mind, to a human mind. There is a much bigger power at work that says, life, truth, and love say to me, I impel mind, the mind of God, to be your mind. And naturally you can state that also for others, not only for my mind, can see it, that it is the Christ to everybody, so that life, truth, and love impels mind to be the mind of all, so that there is no other mind at work, that no other mind, no personal mind has a chance really to acknowledge itself. It has to yield to the mind that is God. So I begin to realize that all have that mind, which is God, but impelled not by me wishing it or by me claiming it in a metaphysical way through positive thinking, but from the grace of God, but also from the power of God, God impelling it to be so. Yes? How would you go on in that law of spirit? If you put in just a little bit of Christ touch, how would that run? Just take it in a stereotyped way. I know that sometimes you feel, well, that is too simple to state it, but still, it may be a good thing to do so. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Spirit.
Form.
Okay.
Spirit would impel spirit to be my form.
Spirit.
New form.
New form.
Now, you're taking the term form.
No, we take spirit. Life, truth, and love, impelling spirit, huh? And now a touch of the Christ in it.
Spirit impels life.
No, life, truth, and love in spirit. I see now what you want to do. Sorry, it's my mistake. You want to show the following thing. What I did with mind, you want first to elaborate that through the three touches of life, truth, and love. Huh? I only did it in a general way. Huh? I only did it in a general way. Let's go back to mine. Huh? I said it in a general way first, that life, truth, and love, the person of God, impels mind, God. And then I took in the Christ, to be my mind. See, the moment I say to be my mind, or to be your mind, or to be the mind of all, I put in the Christ that translates God to man. That's the Christ. And now, at that point, Frank, you really wanted to tell me we can further specify that. Namely, what does life, truth, and love do in that law? Huh? You see, that I think you want to say. So that you could say, yes, life, truth, and love impels mind to be my mind. And then as truth, not as the Christ, as truth, you say that life, truth, impels mind to be my right mind, my correct mind, my true mind. Huh? And that, or my true form of mind that you want to put in. And that love impels mind to be my perfect mind, my complete mind. Huh? That's what you want to. Actually, it would be so nice I could draw it on the blackboard, but I'm hooked up with the microphone. But can you imagine this, or figure it out what it is? Or shall we just stop for a while? Life, truth, love. Huh? As one. Hmm? That's absolute Christian science. Then we said, this impels mind. Yes? This impels mind. Then we said, well, it impels mind in a threefold way. It impels mind as life, it impels it as truth, it impels it to be the true form of mind, or the true mind. And then we add love. That's what we did this morning, huh? And then it impels love to be the perfect mind. So that's what we did this morning, that we said this is the fundamental law of life, truth, and love impelling mind. Therefore, life says, I impel life to, and truth says, and this mind is a true mind, and love says, this is the perfect mind. Then we went on to spirit and did the same thing. That was the first fundamental law, or the way we did it. Then we said, now mind can also be much better symbolized if we take in an idea of mind. So we started out by saying, life, truth, and love impels mind, and then we took in manifests. Didn't we? Said, all right, life, truth, and love manifest, impel the manifestation of mind. And said, what does it do? Again, in three ways, said, as life, it says, life, truth, and love impels the manifestation of mind. Truth impels the true manifestation of mind. And love here impels really the perfect manifestation of mind, or a fulfilled state of mind. That was our exercise. And then, this afternoon, we went further and said, well, we can elaborate on that. This is all the word, but we know that the word also reflects the Christ as a subtone. And the Christ is always that which brings the coincidence of God and man. That's the Immanuel sense. So we said, all right, now that was the word. Now we can come to the Christ sense. We can say life, truth, and love really impel mind. I go over there to the Christ to be my mind. And you write naturally mind with a capital M, because it's the same mind as the mind of God. And then we came to the point where Frank said, well, this can be elaborated through the life, truth, and love sense, huh? And say that in this law, life impels impels mind, to be my mind, and it impels it as life. As truth, it says, truth impels mind, to be my true mind. And life and love says, love impels mind to be my perfect mind. Yes? Is that clear? So at that point we could go on. That's where we stopped and said, let's show that on the blackboard, where we could now go on to spirit. And that's where we stopped. What would be now the law here? The law says that life, truth, and love on the absolute level of Christian Science, the person of God, that life, truth, and love then impels spirit to be my spirit. See? Can you see that my, or your, or the spirit of everybody, of all, is the Christ sense of coincidence. So I begin to see, oh, that's fine. I can't say there are spirits many, or he isn't in good spirit, or he is in bad spirit, etc. There is only one law at work, and that is the impelling law of life, truth, and love, the creative urge of life, truth, and love that says, I, life, truth, and love, really impel spirit to be the, my spirit, or the spirit of all, or your spirit, or the spirit of all, and impels it as life, and says it is a true spirit, and as love it says it is a good spirit, or it's a perfect spirit, or it's a blessing spirit, or it is a loving spirit, and I have that law. Yes? Okay. Try it with soul. Try it with soul. Who wants to do it?
Okay,
well, yes. All right.
Compels, let's take security of soul.
Take the whole law.
What?
Take the whole law. Speak out, spell out the whole law at the point of soul.
Yes, but taking security is the idea of soul.
We don't take any idea.
Well, life impels
soul. I mean here.
Life impels soul to be security. Be secure.
Uh-huh.
And it's a true security with truth impulsion.
Hmm? You see, you missed the category. You were saying something here.
Yeah.
In this column.
The next step is then my security.
Oh, I see. Again, I'm wrong.
You jump right to the Christ.
You can.
Okay.
Sure. Because you can, why? It's not a jump, really, because the fundamental is this, This is only a little bit, the ideas here are only a little bit an elaboration. So actually you could jump, go right to the Christ.
So what you want then is that life impels my security. I mean, life, truth, and love impel the soul to be my security.
No. Your soul.
So it would be my soul.
Yeah.
That
speaker,
soul.
Yeah. You see? Because we have to establish first the fact... Oh, we have to change.